me out, you know. I turned, went back to my solution. That was my solution, was drinking. I had no idea what to do. My relationships ended. My family was worried and scared. I remember I was doing okay at work. That was the last thing I wasn't letting go. Everything else was crazy, but at work they still liked me. Or they didn't see how bad I'd gotten. So in July, I went to Europe for my for the first time for work. And I got this kind of last experience of thinking I got this. The great obsession is that I can control my drinking. And I thought I could control it, you know. In Germany, they have this thing where at hotel rooms, you whatever glass bottles, you leave it outside your hotel room door. And in the morning, I was the only person with like 8 or 10 bottles outside the door, you know. And to me, I was like, huh, you know, I thought Germany liked beer. Yeah. So it came to a head, right? It came to a head. I couldn't do it anymore. I was thinking of using my last paycheck to shoot myself because I wasn't stupid. I could see the future, the way this was going. I could see the downward trajectory that I was headed. And things weren't getting better or easier. Things were getting worse and harder, and I was handling them with less and less capability. And so, yeah, I had no way out. And so I made some concerning phone calls. I don't remember the phone calls, but I'm sure they were concerning because all of a sudden family was like, we are coming up to see you right now. And I was like, okay. You know? And I had tried everything. I would watch videos, you know, on what is alcoholism? How does it work? You know, while drinking, thinking like, well, if that makes sense, this will help me. I remember trying to, I tried therapy. I used some of my last money on one therapy session. I just spent the whole time just talking about my problems and the therapist going, well, that sounds terrible. That sounds awful. That sounds terrible. Man, that sucks. You know, like, okay, you know, that, okay, so that didn't work. I can't remember exactly what they're called now, but there were these pills that were supposed to block the oxytocin or whatever in your head when you drink, so, you know, you wouldn't get that feel-good feeling when you drink and supposed to help. Anyway, I tried to buy it and my card declined, you know, so I was like, all right, that's it. That's my last, this is it. You know, I had no other options. So when my family came and visited, they told me, you know, it seems so obvious, yeah, but they were like, you should go to an AA meeting. I was like, that's a great idea. I can't believe I didn't think of that about that. That's something I hadn't tried. And I, man, this is, my willingness was 100%. I found this noon meeting and it was somewhere on Main Street. And I biked there. We looked it up. I biked there and I was looking for this meeting. I could not find this meeting. Maybe it was me. Maybe it had moved. I don't know. But I could not find it. And I went home and I was like, well, that didn't work. Like, I didn't even try it. You know, I didn't even go to it. And I was ready to, you know, that's as far as my willingness gets me. And my parents were like, what? There's another meeting at 7. Why don't you go to that? And that's the meeting I went to. And I sat right in that chair. And man, you know, the book says that fear sobered me for a bit. And I was afraid, man. I was afraid. I'd gotten close to that edge, you know. If you're an alcoholic like me, you know what that's like. And I was afraid. But then things started coming back a little bit, you know. I got in a month or two. I was like, oh, maybe I should get in a relationship. So I got in a relationship. Maybe I don't need to go to as many meetings. I was on step 4, constantly thinking about step 4, but, you know, hadn't done any writing on it, you know. I was waiting on that because I wanted to make sure I did it perfectly, you know. It had to be perfect, otherwise I wasn't going to do it. And so eventually, like, my sponsor stopped hearing from me because I got my own idea back at that point, you know? And I'm really thankful to those with commitments, to commitments in general. Like, the commitments saved my life. Commitments kept me coming back long enough for the message to finally pierce this thick head of mine, you know? Because at one point, I was going to one meeting a week, and that was only because I had a commitment. And I was so ego-obsessed that I was like, man, you know, I can't look bad. You know, if I don't show up and I don't do coffee, they're going to think negatively of me. So I got to go, and I got to do that coffee, and I got to make sure the coffee's good and show my face and all that. I remember hearing someone say California sober, and I was like, oh, that's a great idea, you know? There's a term for that. It has the word sober in it. It should be fine. Because I thought alcohol was my problem. I thought alcohol was my issue, you know? So it started just like anything else. I wasn't drinking, but, you know, first it was, oh, I just needed to sleep. And then it was, oh, you know, as soon as I get home from work. And then it was, oh, I'm on my lunch break. I, you know, better run home real quick. And then it was all day. And I remember getting to the point where this was like a lightning bolt. I was smoking that skunky bud, as Leo would call it. Smoking that skunky bud till like 4 in the morning. And I woke up late on a Friday, and my boss called me, and, you know, that'll wake you up quick. He was like, where are you? You know, it's 9:30. Work has started already. And I was like, I overslept, you know. And he was like, Zach, be honest with me. Are you sober? And that hit me like a truck, because up until this point, I had been convincing myself the whole time. Of course, I didn't mention the weed to anyone. I didn't talk about it because deep down I knew. But anyway. You know, it hit me like a truck. I was not sober, you know, and it progressed the exact same way alcohol did. Now, alcohol is the spear, the tip of the spear for me. I've tried everything. You know, I was a garbage can, to put it nicely. But alcohol was always the tip of the spear for me. But it's a progressive disease. And my alcoholism manifested in this, and it progressed the same way until my life became unmanageable. So I finally got honest about that, and I finally started working the steps with a sponsor. And that's when life really started changing, you know. I remembered another member in the group. He had come in at a similar time that I did, and for some reason he was changing. You know, he was becoming more calm. He was getting more capability, more able to do. He was taking part in more of the AA program. He had more commitments, and he also went through a couple things that I was afraid of. You know, he went through a layoff that, you know, I thought that was my biggest fear, was going through a layoff, because that's what my dad went through. And I was afraid of that. And he went through it, and it baffled me. He was fine. And I was like, I want what that guy has, you know? And so that was the beginning of this work that we talk about in here. You know, there's several sayings you hear, meeting makers make it. And I believe that to a degree, you know? Meetings kept me coming back long enough to finally hear the message. But, you know, the real recovery that this program talks about didn't come until I started reading the book and working the steps with a sponsor. And the book tells us that great events will come to pass, you know, that used to baffle us. And that's been my experience. Like, I've been through several things that would have thrown me for a loop before. But instead of being self-serving and selfish, you know, I was able to be present and helpful and loving to others. And that's not something I could be before, you know. It was always about me, you know. During that first year where I wasn't working the program and California Sober and all that fun stuff, I would go to meetings thinking, you know, maybe I'll hear something that will help me today. Maybe I'll read something that I need to read today, you know. I would never go to a meeting thinking, how can I be of service today? You know, is there a newcomer I could talk to today? That wouldn't even occur to me before reading the book and working the steps. I was still selfish and self-centered. The book tells us that that's our greatest problem, and that's been my experience, you know, selfish and self-centered. And so finally working the steps, you know, one of the biggest moments for me was step 6 and 7, character defects, and giving those over to your higher power. Like, listing out those character defects made me notice them on a day-to-day basis. I thought I just got emotional or upset, you know, once every month or so, you know, once in a while. But listing these character defects out and then watching for them on a daily basis showed me, no, this isn't every once in a while. This is every day, you know. You are selfish and self-centered every day, multiple times a day, you know. You are filled with fear. I had no idea how much fear run my life and how I used anger or education to defend against that. It was a complete experience. And I've been through some amazing things, you know. After completing these steps, I've had sponsees, and man, having a sponsee, if you don't have a sponsee, it's such a great experience, because you get to give this thing forward. And the 12th step tells us that the book tells us that we can't keep it unless we give it away. And if I'm telling a sponsee or suggesting to a sponsee, like, hey, you should work your step 4, you know, this is how I did it, I better damn well be doing it myself, right? You know? It's like, we can tell, you know, in the same way that Victor went up and he was like, how are you really doing? You know? We can tell when people are telling us to do something and they're not doing it themselves. You know, you need to be loving and kind, you know? Like, I don't believe you, you know? But so if I'm, that helps keep me honest, you know? I've been through a lot of funny moments. I still have the things I like. I really like energy drinks. At work, this was several weeks ago, I bought a Monster, and a coworker passed me by and said, be careful, you know, that'll pickle your liver. And I went, you got no idea, you know? Last year, thanks to this program, like, work has noticed, and they asked me to go, if I would go on a professional development program for 3 months overseas. And what an amazing experience that was, you know. And the book tells us, we can go anywhere and do anything as long as we are spiritually fit. You know, this portion on page 100, assuming we are spiritually fit, we could do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go into their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. And that's been my experience as well. Like, when we are spiritually fit, we can go anywhere and do anything. So I was able to go to Belgium, which Belgian beer, you know, they like their beer. Pretty much every culture likes their beer in some form or another. I gravitated towards the waffles, dude. They have those in vending machines. Crazy. They have waffles in vending machines. Delicious. So good. They kept wondering, like, why is the waffles always gone, you know? Sorry. The American is buying them all, you know? But I was able to go there, and I found a meeting out there, an international meeting. To them, international meant like from like the UK or from France, and then I showed up, and they're like, "What are you doing here?" You know, all the way across the pond. And what an amazing experience! You know, it just goes to show. I've been to meetings in Malta. I've been to meetings in Germany. I've been to meetings in New York. I've been to meetings in Belgium. I've been to meetings all and up and down the coast, and my experience is the same. You know, alcoholism is the same everywhere. Maybe the language or the accent or the food is different. Maybe the names are harder to pronounce, but the disease and the problems are the same, and the solution is the same. The solution is the same. And that was amazing. You know, going to this meeting every Wednesday, this international meeting in Belgium, there was a new guy there. His name was Jacob. And I remember he stopped me one time outside the meeting, and he goes, "I'm really glad you're coming to this meeting, you know." And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, "Well, you know, if I feel like I don't want to come sometimes, and but I see you coming here from all the way overseas, I can make it. You know, it's not that far for me." And it blew me away. Like, I had no idea that just showing up was doing that for someone else. You know, I was still in my head. We can go anywhere and do anything as long as we're spiritually fit. So what does that mean, you know? And it's a pretty big question, you know, what spiritually fit means to me, at least. And it changes. Fundamentally, at least to me, it means, you know, I'm walking the path that my higher power has set for me, and I'm doing it loving and kind and without, with a lot less thought of self and more thought of others. And that's what I try to do, you know. And the way that's done on a daily basis, these days, at least, you know, recently, I've been really focused on meditation. And there's plenty of different ways to meditate. I use, there's a marimba-like instrument called a panda drum that I'll play. And I'll just, you know, spend a little moment, clears my head, and I thank God and practice gratitude and ask for direction. That's it, you know. Keep it simple. Needs to be simple for a guy like me. For a while, especially early in the program, you know, especially right after getting sober twice, I had to get honest with my boss twice, you know, about my behavior. And my fear was, you know, when is the hammer going to drop? When is the hammer going to drop? So, you know, my boss is a really kind guy, really thoughtful guy. And he would... he'd be like, "Hey, Zach," on a Friday afternoon, "Hey, Zach, could you come into my office for a sec?" And, oh my God, the fear. This is the hammer. This is the thing you've been expecting. You were about to get laid off. It would just all come to the surface. And my hands would be shaking, you know. And he'd be like, "Can you help me with this Excel problem?" And I'd be like, "Oh, sure." And I'd help him. And he'd be like, "All right, that's it. Thanks." And I'd be like, what do I do with this, you know? Like, what do I do? This is not good. I don't know how to deal with this. So I called my sponsor. You know, this happened a few times, but he was like, "Why don't you say a quick prayer before you go in?" And so anytime that happened, you know, I would just quickly take a quick moment and go, "God, please direct my thinking." That's it, you know? And it didn't work perfectly the first time, but the more I practiced it, you know, all of a sudden I was able to go in there with, you know, without running on fear, which is what I was doing before. And that was an amazing experience. Man, talking about commitments as well, I'm a big believer in commitments. Right now I am the treasurer for the Happy Hour group. I'm the treasurer for the convention. I'm the commitment coordinator for the Mad Men group. I am the Zoom coordinator for the monthly speaker meeting. And those are things I really believe in, you know, because they save my life. They keep me coming back. You know, whenever one commitment ends, I look for a new one, whatever that is. I will be a greeter. I'll be a secretary. You know, as long as it's being of service, that's been my experience. That's helped me quite a bit. It's helped me to be present and also to practice our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. You know, as a secretary, it's an amazing thing because the role is just to ensure that the meeting is open, that people have a place to meet. Treasurer, same deal. Greeter, welcome, show them the hand of AA in the same way that's been done for me. Commitment coordinator, you know, hoping that other people have the same experience that I did, having a commitment. So these days, I'm probably the busiest I've ever been right now. Like 20 minutes before this, I was at band practice. I'm heading back right after, and then I have a call for work at 9:30 to 10. I have work all day tomorrow and German homework after that. I have work all day after that, and then another band practice, and then I have AA Wednesday, Thursday. Like, life is busy. But what I've noticed is that my capacity has changed, you know? I used to be so busy in the beginning, right? So busy, I don't have time to write my four step, you know? I don't have time to make that amends. So busy. Really, I just didn't know how to manage my time. And so that it's been my experience that we need to get uncomfortable to grow. So I'm a big believer in that. And it gives it an opportunity to practice being loving and kind every day, you know? It's one thing to always be kind and loving when you feel good, you know? But what about when, you know, maybe you're not all right? You know, maybe when things are difficult, you know, can you still be kind and loving then? That's the tools have to work in every situation, or why do we have them? You know, the message has to have depth and weight for it to be understood. And that's just been my experience. I got a lot to look forward to now. Before, looking forward was just down and worse and less capable, more unmanageable, less sober. But man, things are... 2 weeks ago, my buddy asked me to go down to San Diego for a house music festival, right? Just like I said, you know, we can be sober anywhere as long as we're spiritually fit. I was there dancing. I danced for 8 hours. I had a fantastic time. I had an absolute blast. Didn't even think about it. I don't want it. I don't need it. The obsession has been lifted because I've worked the 12 steps. And I continue to practice the steps in my daily life. And my buddy the next day, the one who invited me, showed me the ring he bought his girlfriend and asked if I would be his best man at his wedding. And it's like, that's not me. That's the book. That's the program. That's my higher power working in my life. And then, I kid you not, a week later, I get a call from my brother. He bought a ring for his girlfriend. And they're getting married. And, life is beautiful today. And it's thanks to this program. I almost missed it. I was missing it for a long time because I was so filled with self that I couldn't see in front of me. I was too overwhelmed. Everything was too overwhelming. I had no capability. But thanks to my higher power and this program, I'm able to give things that are too big for me up to him, you know? There's things that I've done that are too big for me to carry, and I need a higher power to give them to. Otherwise, I can't go through life being loving and kind, you know? Because then I'm filled with fear and afraid or angry or whatever it is that doesn't allow me to be present. And that's just been my experience. So if you're new here today, I highly encourage, the things that have worked for me were commitments, getting a sponsor, getting honest with the sponsor, and working the steps. That's it, you know? That's what worked for me. It took a couple tries, and it may take you a couple tries, but that's okay. As long as we're still alive, we always have a second chance, you know? Because I know for sure that this disease will kill me if I let it. And it has others, you know. This ain't no joke of a disease. And that's just been my experience, and that's all I got. Thank you very much.